And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Blubbing the Bloom, episode 149. It's not Thursday night, but it's Friday morning, and we're here to kick off your week 16 Fab preview as usual, do some news and notes and much, much more. First off, you can find me on Twitter at BDIntric. You can find my co-host on Twitter at RyanBHQ on the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
Frazzled. Frazzled, man. The microphone wasn't working when I jumped in the stream yard with you. It's Friday morning, or Friday around lunchtime. And we're recording, and it's after a vacation and a holiday. So just frazzled, but happy to be here. Happy 5th. I feel like a million things have happened since we last recorded Sunday night.
Yep. It's been a while. It's been a lot going on. Hopefully everybody had a good holiday. Hope you had a good holiday. But Yeah, it's the last big Fab before the All-Star break. There's still technically one more Fab, but you're basically bidding on a three-day week. So it's the last full week we have coming up here before the All-Star break. And should be a fun Fab week as we got some prospects and some returners and fun stuff like that. And we'll get to all of that. But let's get to some news and notes real quick. This is where one of the prospects comes into play. Royce Lewis to the IL. Once again, yes, that was his music that played. Royce Lewis, it's an adductor strain. Why can't they just say groin injury, like for the rest of us in the world?
Is the adductor the same as the groin?
I learned that from Snell. It's basically a groin injury. It's probably a little different, but it's basically a groin injury. If we want to keep it simple, like caveman over here, it's a groin injury. They're going to reevaluate him after the All-Star break, so nothing until then. Brooks Lee was called a big-time prospect in the Twins system out of Cal Poly, about an hour down the road from me here. Thursday night, we were having some beverages, watching fireworks. Some of the guys remembered watching him there. They were talking about it. It was pretty fun stuff. Some younger kids, I should say. So what's your thoughts on this? Because it feels like Lewis even admitted, like, they've held him back longer than he should have felt to be held back other times. So he's expecting to be out for a while. But now you get Brooks Lee, who is already hitting since he's first come up.
With the Lewis thing, it definitely, I think I saw grade 2 somewhere, which you don't want to see. And this is not a just, oh, he'll be back after the All-Star break. It sounds like Brooks Lee will get quite the runway for playing time at third base for the Twins. Brooks Lee's interesting, man, but like Brooks Lee has his fair share. I was reading through the Baseball HQ scouting report on Lee. He has his fair share of injury history. I think like a herniated disc. He's had some back problems in the past, so that's not great. But he's been on fire, man. He slashed .329, .394, .635 with 7 homers over Lee's last 20 AAA games. Position eligibility is going to be kind of weird. I think he's eligible at shortstop in most league formats, but playing third base, so we'll pick up corner eligibility at some point. The question is, like, do you back up the truck? I mean, how much do you throw down in Fab? I'm always skeptical, just given this season, how many prospects have just fallen flat on their face on the hitting side, really on both sides, that I'm probably just putting in modest bids and not getting them. I feel like I say that about every prospect, but I certainly see if you need help up the middle, again, if he is shortstop eligible in your league and eventually at third base, Brooks Lee, I mean, I don't see like he's a top 50 prospect with HQ. I don't see, you know, I understand the ceiling of why you'd want to go pretty hard for him if you need help there.
Yeah, he's shortstop eligible in the NFBC, so he'll get third base eligibility probably right before the All-Star break, give or take. So you'll have a little bit of both. I agree. It feels like it's at least a month for Royce Lewis, if not more. So Brooks Lee should get plenty of time. And if he produces, that could obviously work into something else because he can play shortstop, play third, probably play second if that's the case. Just going to throw that out there. There's opportunity for Brooks Lee. He's already got two hits in both of his first two games, 7 homers so far in AAA this year. So he seems like a modest power guy, but more of like just a good hit tool, batting average type guy, like you mentioned the scouting report with him there. But yeah, I'm with you. It's one of those that we always talk about, that middle infield, corner infield flexibility. That's tremendous, especially with all the injuries we're seeing this year, which makes me kind of intrigued on him. But you and I are always skeptical on prospects. That's kind of we've admitted maybe a fault, maybe not. It all depends. But I do see the appeal for a Brooks Lee compared to some other prospects we've talked about before. It makes you, like, for those that backed up the truck on Noelvi Marte last week,
yeah,
I wonder how that conversation would go. Would you rather Noel? I think you still want Noelvi. I'm not going to like to say no, but you know, if you can get Brooks for a quarter of the price, how does that sound? Type situation.
I mean, we'll talk about him later. But what about James Wood?
Yeah, James Wood's going to be coming up.
Who would you back up the truck for more?
I'd go Brooks Lee or Wood.
I think I'd go Wood.
My only reasoning for the Wood part is my weekly comment on how you can always find outfielders on the waiver wire. At least I can. So you can't find the middle infield or corner infield. So that's where that's more of a, you know, availability thing. But I think Wood might be the better fantasy player. So you might be on the right path there. If that is the game we're playing after all. So you're probably right there. But just to fill out my roster weekly, I'd probably go Brooks Lee.
So. What's up to the chat, by the way? Like, this is a new crowd. This is not, you know, we have some of the old standby. We got Stephen Crawford in there. We've got Dom in here. But we also have the daytime crew and a Euro-friendly stream time from Rupert as well. So keep the chat going as we go. I just wanted to shout that out since we are on a different time slot.
Most definitely. All right, Jared Jones, he heads to the IL with a lat strain. Of course, every player does. Jared Jones does not think it's too serious. But this also kind of actually helps the Pirates go, let's limit his innings and give him a little breather till after the All-Star break. He doesn't need to limit his innings. We've talked about how many he's thrown before, but don't think they weren't going to do that anyways. But Jones will be out for at least a couple of weeks. We'll see how it plays out there. I'm not overly concerned at the moment, but maybe this is part of the reason he's been scuffling of late. There is something already going on there. We'll see. But Jared Jones to the IL with the lat strain.
Yeah, and this was, I think, our episode maybe two weeks ago, where Jared Jones was the biggest faller in terms of strikeout minus walk of any starting pitcher in baseball. We kind of speculated maybe there's something going on here. And I don't know if this totally explains the walk rate with Jared Jones, but man, the walk rate was really bad. Jared Jones is, I would say, not so quietly been pretty terrible lately after an elite start. So,
yep, he's been average. I'll say it nicely. He's been average.
Yeah, maybe I'm a little too harsh. Yeah.
But no, because he's had his dominating ones and his frustrating ones. So just when it comes to rostering, we talk about so many players. Like, we'll get so many questions. Should I keep this guy? Should I cut this guy? Well, Jones is doing that kind of keep cut question pitching right now. But he's shown a ceiling a lot of guys haven't, which keep you hooked in there. So I'll have to kind of see where that was. But as John L. in the chat says, Jones was so great early on with that ball percentage. But things change. Kids change. We'll see where it goes from there. And it'll probably come back to the positive at some point as well. Mm-hmm. Speaking of kids changing and things coming back to the positives, Parker Meadows is returning to the Detroit Tigers, getting called up on Friday. He'll be playing later today. Maybe probably didn't even listen to the show yet. And Parker Meadows will be playing for the Detroit Tigers. So he'll be a fun topic of conversation in Fab later on. We actually had, I'll just real sidetrack here. Like, for about 3 weeks, we're in our Fab, we joked, it sucked. Horrible.
It was bad.
Last week was fun. This week's going to be fun. Like, we're kind of back on some options here. Like, we're getting all, like, every day it's like a new, like, a couple guys, it feels like. So Parker Meadows is one of them. And it's kind of one of those where I'm trying to stay optimistic, but I need to be cautiously optimistic because he sucked. Like, there's no way to put it. You know, .196 or .096, two homers and three stolen bases to start the year with the Tigers. Horrific, horrific stuff. But goes down to AAA in 47 games, .298, eight homers, 19 stolen bases, looking a lot more like the guy we expected him to be. Let's not forget, dude's 24 years old, still super young, skill set's great. So many smart people this year were very optimistic on Parker Meadows coming into the season, like all over the industry. I'm not just placating this show. I'm saying everyone, but there's a lot of people talking about him. So I would not be shocked if he comes back here and we see a totally different guy. Is he going to be an all-star? Who knows? Is he going to be as bad as he was before? I doubt it. So here's to your James Wood thing. Here's another outfielder with some power, with some speed that might hit for average. That you can probably get a lot cheaper than James Wood. So it's an interesting conversation. But what's your thoughts on Parker Meadows?
No, I'm glad you brought that up. The James Wood juxtaposition. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but it's just interesting. Like, I know, but I just, you know, try and run it by you every now and then. The comparison between Wood and Parker Meadows is kind of fascinating to me. James Wood's going to get all the headlines, whatever, the shiny top 10 prospect, all this stuff, or Parker Meadows, who, yes, a lot of smart people were on entering the season, has gone through those ups and downs already in the majors. Like, would it shock you if Parker Meadows easily out earns James Wood and Brooks Lee for that matter. Like this, again, this is someone you just said is 24 years old. Yeah, he sucked in the majors earlier this year, but has been good before and is, like you said, just hitting well in AAA and should play. So, like, would not surprise me at all if a cheaper Parker Meadows is as successful or even more successful than these two big prospects that are being called up with no major league experience entering the Fab Week.
100%. That's why with all these names, I'm really looking forward to seeing what prices are this weekend. Like when I do my recap on Monday, I'm very excited to see where the dust settles on this little, because people have been waiting for Woods for a long time. People want been talking Brooks Lee for a while. Parker Meadows still has some of his fans, not nearly as many as before. So it'll be fun to see how it all breaks down, not to mention plenty of dollar guys that'll probably be just fine that you can stream for a while. So be a fun week in that regard. You know what else was fun, Ryan? Waking up on Wednesday morning and seeing Saivaldi get traded to the Milwaukee Brewers, a team that's desperately needing pitching, and he goes to town there. And so that'll let you, you know, talk about, do you believe he can come back? Because I don't, but you might. But it also opens the door for one Shane Baz to join the Rays rotation. They made it official. I thought the Rays were going to just lead us along forever without saying it. They even said it that day. Like, he's taking a spot. I'm like, thank God. Supposed to pitch on Friday. Like, I looked at MLB's app right before the show. Still not official on there. But everywhere you read, it's Shane Baz day. So we'll have to kind of wait and see there. So what's your thoughts on this deal? The Saivaldi side, the Shane Baz side. Pretty good stuff there.
Man, Saivaldi, it's one of those, just when I was out, they start to pull me back in type of deals. Like, we saw this last year with Aaron Saivaldi once he got traded to the Rays, who obviously saw something in Saivaldi's repertoire, was a much, much better pitcher in the second half. Strikeouts went way up. I don't know what happened, honestly, so far this season and why those strikeouts have gone away. But maybe a change of scenery again, 2 years in a row with Saivaldi, is going to help. Milwaukee does know what they're doing. They are a pitching factory organization, in my opinion. So maybe they see something similar to what the Rays saw in Saivaldi last year. Am I super excited and say it's going to happen? No, but it has happened before. And Aaron Saivaldi, I think, is on a lot of waiver wires right now because he has been, much to your enjoyment and my chagrin, pretty bad this year. Shane Baz, yeah, Shane Baz is the big one. Like, I do worry about workload overall for Shane Baz, like what this looks like in September for someone coming off Tommy John surgery. You look at Shane Baz's minor league numbers so far this year, it's not great. It's a 5 ERA, but the strikeouts have been there, and Shane Baz has pitched. He was awful in May and has pitched a lot better in June. So you can't, you know, take that year-to-date AAA line for Shane Baz with a grain of salt. I think Shane Baz is pretty easily the top pitcher in Fab this weekend, and you worry, I think, given the way back end starting pitching is, you worry about the workload stuff later and get a good pitcher while you can and ride it however long you can with Shane Baz.
Yeah, I'm very excited because a few weeks back when we talked about Fab being so boring, and I mentioned I was doing a lot of stashing, got Baz in a couple places. I'm pretty pumped on that one. Like, I started to lose hope because I started getting more injuries, and I almost had to drop one of them this last week. And I'm like, thank God I didn't do that. That would have been rough. But looking forward to that. We'll get Blake Snell back next week as well. He actually looked really good in his last rehab start. Again, we've seen that before. Who knows if he's healthy, but just another name to throw in the pile if available. We'll get to it. But Snell's a guy to keep in mind. Robbie Ray might be back right after the All-Star break. So my point is, there's pitching coming. So, you know, go for the now, and like Ryan said, figure the rest out later type stuff.
Jeffrey Springs too, perhaps.
Yep, he's pretty close as well. There's a handful of them. Like Kodai Senga is actually closer than we thought. Like, he might be in early August. He's making his second rehab start next week, and he looked really good in his first rehab. So there's guys at least making noise finally. So we'll see how that goes. Last bit of news here. Again, there could have been a lot more, but you'll get it wherever you need to get it. Jordan Romano, we talked about it on the last show. Got a setback, got shut down. Well, since the last show, Jordan Romano had surgery on said elbow. He's going to be shut down for 6 weeks. In my mind, he's done for the season. That's how I kind of see this playing out. They haven't officially said that in Toronto. That's how it feels. Chad Green's the closer for now. Jimmy Garcia starts a rehab assignment on Saturday. I'd expect Jimmy Garcia back at the end of next week, if not the beginning of the following week, or the All-Star break, basically, maybe right after the All-Star break. Jimmy Garcia is the dude to own. I think many people can agree to that. So if he's available, which he is in a lot of leagues, weirdly enough, because a lot of people dropped them thinking Romano, I think, would be back before Jimmy was back. Just for reference sake here, Jimmy is available. He's only rostered in 48% of OCs. I'd look to add Jimmy Garcia soon.
I unfortunately in one of those drops of Jimmy Garcia in a 15 teamer. I just didn't. This was right after the elbow injury, and I was like, I don't know when we will see Jimmy Garcia again, and I don't have the roster space. I've got too many other injured guys, so I just had to make the move.
I don't fault anybody for that. That was logistically made sense at the time.
Yeah, like this has been a pretty quick return for Jimmy, which is awesome. And I agree. I think Romano is cooked for this year, and B, Jimmy Garcia slides right back to being the Toronto closer. And assuming he's healthy, assuming the elbow is good, the skills, you know, the pre-injury Jimmy Garcia skills were freaking awesome. So this is a guy, if the elbow holds up, is a top 10, top 15 closer, in my opinion, the rest of the way. And if available, I think you should bid accordingly if you need those saves.
Yep. I'm with you there. Our fellow Canadian in the chat here says, Steven says, don't worry, Ryan, Blue Jays are never in safe scenario. Yeah. He's taking Joe Arrico's role for the day.
I was going to say, we can tell Arrico's not in the chat because he hasn't blown up with Toronto hate so far. So Steven's holding that mantle for our friends up north.
Awesome. So yeah, that's just a little bit of news and those, but it's kind of the more relevant stuff. Obviously, a lot of depth to those parts of the news. There's a lot of minor parts. Everyone say, you know, your T's and P's for Luis Rengifo, the mascot. He's getting an MRI on his wrist. Like, we need to, like, have a little vigil if we need to, because we can't be losing him. The leader in batting average in baseball. Like, we can't lose this man. So, have our T's. And he's getting that MRI today. He's not in the lineup for Friday in Wrigley. So,
and this might be another where by the time you all hear this podcast, we may know the Angels are still waiting for the MRI results. Had the x-ray on the mascot, and the x-ray turned out good. So, we'll see. We'll see with the MRI. But yes, I'm not going to lie, man, between the fireworks last night, keeping my dogs awake, I was awake thinking about the mascot. This would be a pretty brutal blow, not for only for him, but really for the podcast and the listener.
It'd be a sad day. I might need to take a day or two to bounce back, but we'll see. All right, you're getting there. Let's look at some fab for the week. Ryan's going to pull up a sheet. We're going to talk schedules, CBS, and RotoWire two-start grid. So, Ryan, what do we got? Anything interesting on the schedule this week?
Yeah, and I'll walk through this since we do have – this is the matinee crowd, the lunchtime crowd. This is what we do every Thursday night. We go through our projected schedule grid with for each team. We'll go through all 30 teams with – lefties, righties, and projected opposing starting pitchers, and that average K to walk. Then we'll switch over to CBS. So I don't know, honestly, if there are any like schedule quirks this week, like there have been the last couple. Kansas City and San Diego are the only teams with 5 games, and then a bunch of teams with 7, which is always good because that means more baseball. But no, man, I'm ready to freaking go right through it unless you've got anything to add.
I just did a quick look. A lot of full righty weeks, so we're gonna have some fun talking to streamers. But we'll get to those obviously team by team. That stood out real quick when I looked at this. So let's get at it. We'll start at the top, alphabetical order, as we do on this show. The Arizona Diamondbacks. They got 7 games this week, all at home. They get the Braves for 4 and the Blue Jays for 3. 3 lefties, 4 righties, and that, friends, makes it difficult for guys like Jock Peterson and others to thrive. Not to mention. Alec Thomas is back as well, so that makes things even more fun in Arizona.
Yeah, and this is the one. Yep, the Alec Thomas, I guess, versus Jake McCarthy.
Yep.
I think maybe there might be no winner there because they will be splitting duties, or at least 60-40. I don't know. So,
have you seen how they played since Thomas is back for 3 games? He started every other game versus a righty, and the one he didn't start, McCarthy started. So 3 righties, Thomas has beaten him 2-1.
Yeah, and so that's what I mean when there kind of is no winner, especially and again this week, even though it is a 7 gamer for Arizona, you're only getting those 4 with the righties for McCarthy. Maybe even we don't even know if Alec Thomas will play against lefties. We have not we have not seen the Diamondbacks face a lefty yet, so be mindful of that. Yep, exactly. So I don't know. I'm Alec Thomas is probably someone who's going to be on outfield bid lists. I'm pretty tepid there given the lack of playing time certainty. And really, Alec Thomas has been, even though he's still young, has been pretty okay, I guess, throughout his major league career so far.
Yep, totally agree with you on that one. All right, let's go to Atlanta Braves. It's a weekly tradition that, hey, everyone's rostered. Braves have 7 games this week, all on the road, 4 at Arizona, 3 at San Diego. All right-handed pitching. like I kind of joke tongue in cheek, is there's just no one to really roster because they're all rostered already, unless you could think of somebody.
No, I can think of old Eddie Eagle, who the Braves did just sign about an hour ago. Minor league deal. This would be like a legendary week for Eddie Rosario.
He would be added everywhere if he was up with the team right now. 100% he would be rostered right now.
And in all seriousness, like, it's not going to be this week, but maybe a couple weeks out. If Rosario gets the call, I think he's an excellent stream back somewhere where he is familiar in weeks where Atlanta plays right-handers. So, but no, that's further on down the road. Eddie Rosario is not a stash, but outside of that, I got nothing for the Braves here.
Yep. Baltimore Orioles, their juggernaut of an offense, plays 6 games at home this week, 3 against the Cubs, 3 against the Yankees, 3 lefties, 3 righties. It goes lefty, righty, lefty, righty, righty, lefty. So if you do the bi-weekly, it's 2 righties and 1 lefty to end the week, but that's Cole and then a beat up ill. Well, they're all actually kind of rough right now. So on paper, this looks like a very tough 6 or at least 5 matchups. In reality, it might not be that difficult, but again, who you rostering in Baltimore?
It's a tough week for your Ryan O'Hearn, even your Cedric Mullins.
Ryan Mountcastle's kind of losing playing time. Ryan Mountcastle, if we did like a should you drop episode, Ryan Mountcastle's getting, I wouldn't go there yet, but that's one to monitor closely.
Another one I'm just looking at is, keep wanting to say Heston Kjerstad. How much will he play this week against lefties? Did not start Wednesday night. We're against a righty. Kjerstad did not, after getting some pretty consistent playing time. So just interested to see where Heston Kjerstad, how often he plays in a 3-3 split week for Baltimore, who, yes, continues to be a pitching nightmare for anyone facing the Orioles this year.
Pretty good. Chicago Cubs, they have 7 games this week. They have 3 at Baltimore, 4 against their division rivals in St. Louis, 1 being Lance Lynn in humidity. Let's go.
There it is. In the road grays, right? Oh, no, they'll be
at home. St. Louis, the whites, but it's all good. I'll take whatever I can get from that big beefy man. Chicago Cubs, 7 righties on the docket, though. So, maybe some Michael Bush back in your life. He's been so inconsistent. Like, I'd say deep league only, but hey, you never know.
Yeah. And is playing every day, and it's 7 righties, so you got to like that. And it's a pretty, it's a pretty soft 13% K-minus walk for the crew facing the Cubs this week. That's about all I got outside of home run Ian Happ, who probably should be rostered everywhere, but he has absolutely turned things around. But, yeah, maybe Michael Bush, who's hitting 2nd against righties that 7-game week. You're right, very inconsistent, but get the volume and get the playing time.
And I'll give a shout out. Saya's starting to heat up a little bit, which looks good too. So
yeah, let's hope that. Until his next oblique, but
hey.
I've got plenty of Saya. I know. Trust me. I hate to go against our guy here, but man,
he's no Royce Lewis, but he's trying to be.
No, he's not the Rolls Royce.
He's more of a Nissan
medium Sentra. Level car brand. I can't think of off the top of my head.
That's why I said Nissan Sentra, or is a Honda Civic. Chicago White Sox, they have 6 games this week, all at home. 3 versus Minnesota, 3 versus Pittsburgh, 1 lefty, 5 righties. And it's the weekly conundrum we have. Do you or do you not roster Gavin Sheets? I have stopped rostering Gavin Sheets, but that's usually the only conversation piece for me.
Agreed. Like, I take Michael Bush over Gavin Sheets this week.
100%.
We're just talking about. So outside of that, no. No Andrew Benintendi talk allowed on this podcast. So
nope, only slander, no good talk. Cincinnati Reds on this one. Oh
yes.
Boy. 7 games in Great American Small Park. And look at this pitching set they have on tap. They get the Rockies for 4, which in any ballpark is awesome. And then they get Miami for 3. It looks like it's 3 lefties, 4 righties from now. With these teams, I could see things changing all the time because you never know. But regardless, to start the week, Hudson, Quantrill, Freeland, Gomber is just chef's kiss. So any Reds you can roster, I know it might not play every day. I'm very excited this week.
That's the problem, though, is like, I don't know which Reds are available. I know your guy, Jonathan India, is back and leading off.
He's pitching. He's playing great.
Yeah, but probably like widely rostered. I still don't believe in like Jake Fraley. The hard contact continues to not be there and will only play 4 times this week. So that's kind of the problem, is like it's a beautiful schedule for the Reds all at home, but like I mean, which ones realistically in any league format are widely available? I don't know.
That is the problem. They won't be. But if you're in a shallow league and like a Jonathan India is out there, please fix that ASAP. That'd be awesome.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, for most 12s and 15s, at least in NFBC, like even Fraley 74%, like you said, plays four games. Is that going to cut it? Four games in Great American could, but it's just not as ideal. Yeah. Cleveland Guardians, they have seven games this week, all on the road. They get the Tigers for four and the Rays for three, all right-handed pitching for now. And it's a pretty nice week. You don't know if Flaherty even makes a start with his back. You got Maeda up and down, Reese Olson. Montero pitched great in his debut. Taj has been good, but then Lytle. Like it's a bunch of coin flips, it feels like, on this week. And Cleveland's offense is just awesome to begin with.
It is, but from a fab aspect, like kind of similar we're talking about with the Reds, Guardians offense is a lot better than Cincinnati's, but like your good Guardians are rostered. You're probably looking at guys like Brian Rocchio, who is half decent if you need middle infield help, and who doesn't, especially in deeper leagues. And then Daniel Schneemann is hitting second against righties, so like has certainly cooled down from Schneemann's hot start, but still over the last month hitting 262, which is pretty much his season, three home runs, hit a homer this past week. So Daniel Schneemann, I think if you know, you need outfield help, he's just kind of one of those other guys that you throw in as a conditional, given the seven game week.
Uncle Ted will be so happy you said that. That's all I have to say. That's one of the...
He's a Schneemann guy.
Oh, very much so. Colorado Rockies, they have seven games this week, all on the road, but four in Great American, so that's a plus, and then three against the Mets. That's going to be interesting. Three lefties, four righties. Looks like your lefties come, actually, most two of them at the end of the week in the Mets. So the first half of the week in Great American, three righties, one lefty if you want to play the first half stream game.
Yeah, and I mean, the question is, like, so I believe the Rockies are coming off a 6 or 7 game home week.
A lot, right? I think it's like 10 games. It was the whole week this week. Like, I think it's maybe 10 games.
Okay. So, like, really, your streaming Rockies are already picked up, right? Like, your Charlie Blackmans, your even Toglias, you know, whatever. So, I don't, like, and a 7-game week is nice. At Small Park is nice. But, like, if you're streaming Rockies, you have already pick them up, I think, the last week or two.
You should have, yes. That's a very great point there, Mr. Bloomfield. Very good point.
I'm you know, every now and then, especially in during the daytime.
He brings his best. He doesn't have a 75-ounce water bottle, so we're good. The dude, Detroit, man, Tigers.
Look at this tank.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, that's amazing. We can make it an hour and a half. That's all I got to say.
Cheers. Should have filled this with noons over 4th of July. That would have been good.
Yeah, sitting on the beach with that thing full of noons. Failure.
stay cold all day.
Yep. Detroit Tigers, they have 7 games this week, all at home. They get the Cleveland Guardians for four and the Dodgers for three. Two lefties, five righties. Obviously, the talk of the town is going to be Parker Meadows. At first off, see if he plays every day this week. I'd imagine if he gets called up, he's playing. But then again, we'll see. But I think Parker Meadows is very much in play. Colt Keith, I picked him up last week, went deep yesterday. So that was a plus. He's been playing well. You opened my eyes to that resurgence. And then I just want to ask the question, and I'll let you run with the Tigers here. What are we thinking on Justin Henry Molloy, who is starting to hit the baseball? This is where DFS helps me a lot, folks. Like I say it a lot, and people are like, no, like no, this has helped me a lot because he's always cheap and he's hitting for power. So what's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I actually it's probably this is the first time I've said this all year. I'm pretty fascinated with the Tigers lineup right now, just because of the surgence, that it's not a resurgence if you've never surged before, of Justin Henry Molloy. He is six for 14 this week, couple dongs. So while Justin Henry Molloy just has a 284 OBP and a 197 batting average on the season, you got to think Detroit keeps rolling him out there and seeing what they have. I'm curious, like, where is it, if Parker Meadows is an everyday guy, if he's not in a platoon, if he's an everyday, or at whose expense is that? Is it
Wensiel Perez?
I mean, he has been the everyday right fielder and playing like decently, but
it's either that or Matt Vierling leaves center field, goes back to his utility role.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's something I don't know the answer. But this weekend, I'm taking a look at, because I do have some Wensiel Perez, and I'm a little worried that we may not get everyday playing time from Perez anymore.
Yeah, but, it feels like that ship is slowly slowing down. That's what it feels like.
Would you in 15 teamers bid on Henry Molloy
this week? Oh, I would. I would debate it on 12s, honestly.
Really?
I really would. Like what we're seeing now, it feels that I could just be it could be one hot stretch, but it's just it's the third base eligibility. People just lost Royce Lewis, so that's huge. And he's it's a young player that, you know, it took a little while, but he's getting his run. He's playing every day, and maybe he's figuring it out, or maybe it's a hot streak, but he's 0% rostered in OCs right now. Like, I'll take my chances probably pretty cheap in that one.
All right.
Big John Studd's out on Molloy in 12s, though, so we'll see. 15s must bid.
That seems like the dividing line. I agree.
Yeah, I get it. It's more of a needs at third base thing, but I am very intrigued by what Molloy's doing. Houston Astros, they have 6 games this week, all at home. They get the Marlins for 3 and the Rangers for 3. 2 lefties, 4 righties, and majority, if McCormick's still out there, that's your boy, and he's playing well. But otherwise, I think it's pretty bleak out there.
Yeah, even McCormick, though, like, has only started
now. He's all the time.
What's that?
It doesn't feel like he's playing enough still. But,
no, yeah. I mean, he's only started twice the last 6 games. Did not start on the 4th or the 2nd. So, like, that seems to be a pretty obvious platoon in right-left field between Chaz McCormick and Joey Loperfido. So, again, that's another one where, like, no one really wins. I'd like to see both those guys play. Is Kyle Tucker alive? It's really all I got for Houston.
He's expected back after the All-Star break. The manager of Spada, I believe it is, said Verlander and Tucker are progressing nicely, and they expect both of them back after the All-Star break.
So leg amputation for Kyle Tucker on July 13th, 14th.
Hey, let's how about we don't say we did.
It's just a bizarre
I know. Injury. It's weird because he's like down, couldn't do anything. And then like early this week, he's progressing so much faster now. He's doing it like all of a sudden something clicked, like maybe the medicine took over. I don't know. Because I'm saying medicine in quotes took over. But something changed real quickly with Mr. Tucker. So yep. We'll wait and see. All right. Kansas City Royals. They're one of the 2 5 gamers this week. They have 2 at St. Louis, 3 at Boston. All righties, which is great for your Mike Massey's of the world and company, but 5-game week. So it's more of a, you know, late week play, or just kind of enjoy the 5 games and enjoy, I guess, is the best way I can say it.
Yeah, no, it's the Mount Massey, Michael Massey return is real and beautiful and glorious. Tough to start any Royals outside of Bobby Witt and probably Vinny P.
Vinny P's heating up. Salvi's been awesome. Don't disregard Salvi.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. You're starting those guys all week, but you're more fringe Royals, including Michael Massey. I think Hunter Renfro was a popular ad recently. You can't start those guys at least the first half of the week. Maybe wait for the weekend, but that's about all I got.
For sure. I'm with you on that one. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. 7 games this week, all at home. They get the Rangers for 3 and then the Seattle Mariners for 4. And you get Castillo, yeah, Kirby, Wu, and Gilbert. And Castillo's been the worst out of the 4. So there you go. 7 righties on tap, which it's going to be so great for Ngifo. It's going to be so great for Ngifo. We're just going to progress. Let's just make this happen. But what else are you liking here with the Los Angeles? Is this take a chance on Nolan Chanwell in a deep formats week?
I guess. I mean, Chanwell will play every day and lead off every day 7 times. So like just 7 times, whatever, 5 at-bats per game. That's 35 plate appearances for Nolan Chanwell. And maybe he pops a home run.
Mickey Moniak week.
Could be Mickey Moniak week.
He should play every day. Blue.
Yeah. That's your guy from last year.
From last year, yes. Not this year, last year, yes. It's interesting. Like, John Gray's been mediocre. Scherzer, Lorenzen. Like, it's just a tough sledding.
Yeah. And even I know we've gotten a lot of questions from avid listener Joe G, who is just constantly reminding us and well deserved how bad Taylor Ward has been lately, hitting 172 over the last month. 7-game week, you're still absolutely starting, I think, Taylor Ward, thinking this turns around. But hopefully a get-right week for Mr. Ward. And again, most importantly, T's and P's of the mascot that he is enjoying part of this week, Luis Rengifo is as well. So That's what we can hope.
Rest and come back after the All-Star break. I don't care. I don't want to hear season ending anywhere. Just like if you need 10 days, take 10 days. Go to vacation. I don't care, but come back soon. All right, Los Angeles Dodgers, they have 6 games this week, all on the road. 3 in Philly, 3 in Detroit. Ooh, Scooble and the Dodgers. I'm in. Let's go. Wheeler and the Dodgers. Christopher, ooh, that's a good week of baseball right there, folks. 2 lefties, 4 righties on tap. Dodgers are pretty much rostered, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the one change with the Dodgers has been Chris Taylor basically taking over the third base job. But Chris Taylor is...
Muncy's done.
Yeah, Muncy is... I guess swinging a bat, but still sounds
so am I.
Very, very far away. Yeah, so are my kids. They can
swing. I swung a wiffle ball bat yesterday. Does that count, Mr. Muncy?
Yeah. So yeah, Chris Taylor is playing every day in a great lineup. But Chris Taylor, to me, looks pretty cooked. I will echo the back half of this. Like, there's just no depth for this lineup, man. It's bad. Even Eddie Pajas has slowed down. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, I dropped Pajas in a 12 last week, and like I said, I might regret it. I might pick him up again later, but it's been rough. It's tough in 12s, but this Dodgers team, it was impressive when I was writing up the daily matchups for the day. I was looking at their splits, and I just want to pull this up real quick. So over the last month for the Dodgers, just to let people know how bad this has been, we'll just pick June 4th because that's pretty close to a month. Versus right-handed pitching. The Los Angeles Dodgers, reload. Thank you, Fangraphs. All right. They are hitting 250 with a 121 WRC plus. That's good. That's not bad. Now, where it gets fun, the Los Angeles Dodgers versus left-handed pitching. Actually, it's better than I thought. Never mind. I was looking at different stats last year. So ignore all of that. This is what happens when we record in the morning. But they have slowed down a lot. I know that.
But read Bubba's daily matchups column.
Yeah. You'll figure out which team I'm talking about, because it's obviously not the Dodgers now. But it's in there somewhere. So there's your – it's a tease to make you read the article. Get it? Yes.
Yeah, I think that really hooked everyone in there, Bubba.
Yep. Come sign up. Enjoy the show. It's definitely not the Mets. The Mets crush everything. But let's move on. The Miami Marlins. They have six games this week, all on the road. 3 at Houston, 3 in Great American against Ashcraft, Abbott, and Montas, which is very, very nice. That's all 2 righties and a lefty. But on the week, 2 lefties and 4 righties. Jesus Sanchez continues to produce. I don't care what anybody has to say.
Yeah, to the point where I'm planning on rolling with him. I don't know what the 4-game split looks like midweek, but Jesus Sanchez is awesome. Jake Berger has not been. I know we've been on Berger watch lately. It hasn't been that great lately for Jake Berger. The other change to the Marlins was our Tim Anderson DFA this week, and Xavier Edwards was called up and has started at shortstop every day, hitting 6th. Xavier Edwards is it looks like a kind of an empty batting average guy with some speed, not much power there at all. But again, if you need a body in middle infield and you're starting like maybe Miguel Rojas, this is Xavier Edwards is someone who I think could provide similar batting average with. He's a lot younger and might have a little bit more of a ceiling. And I think we'll continue to be the everyday shortstop even over the mighty Vidal Brujan, who's playing like second base. So Xavier Edwards in deeper leagues up the middle, you know, could help.
Yep, I'm with you on Xavier Edwards. That would be the pickup for sure if outside of Jesus Sanchez, who I just keep rostering. Big John Stud says it's the Dodgers are bad. You're not wrong. 50% ground ball, 285 xWOB in the last 14 versus right-handed pitching. So I was kind of there, just couldn't figure it out on my own. Thanks, Big John Stud. Milwaukee Brewers, they have 6 games this week, all at home. They get 3 against Pittsburgh, 3 against Washington. Just saying that out loud sounds pretty good until you see it. Skeens, Irvin, like these actually good pitchers all of a sudden. 4 lefties, though, 2 righties, kind of a reverse compared to what we usually see. I don't know, almost like a unicorn situation here with Milwaukee, but still I'm not like running to roster anybody unless you see someone you should. Or actually, never mind. Garrett Mitchell's back, but I don't know how much he's going to play versus lefties.
That's the thing. And Mitchell did not start his first game off the IL against a lefty, and I think is in a platoon. We talked about this whenever we recorded our last show. There's just a lot of mouths to feed in that Brewers outfield. And in a lefty heavy week for the Brewers, like, I'm not putting much in Garrett Mitchell. I just don't think he's going to play every day. Even Sal Frelick is probably not playing much this coming week. Blake Perkins will probably play four times against those lefties. Got some speed there. But again, long-term, like I don't, especially Garrett Mitchell, I'm not convinced he's an everyday player. And thus I think we'll go in Fab for more than Garrett Mitchell should, in my opinion.
Yeah, it sucks because I like the skills of Mitchell a lot. He needs to play. That just sucks all around in that one. Minnesota Twins, six games this week, all on the road. Three at the White Sox, three at the Giants, two lefties, four righties. Very favorable schedule for a very good hitting Twins team. Brooks Lee's obviously the main talking point this week when it comes to Fab, but you almost get a line shift here if you really feel like for it to ride.
Yeah, I think it's a good week for our lefty line shift of Kepler and Max Kepler and Trevor Larnach. Larnach is hitting second or third every day against righties. And yes, even though it's just a four-game righty week for Minnesota, God, that's some juicy pitching matchups. So, yes, Brooks Lee, obviously the star of Fab along with James Wood this week, but a cheaper Trevor Larnach could be helpful.
Another talking point, David Festa went back to AAA. Chris Paddock's expected back this weekend, so you can drop Festa. I would just wait to see whenever he comes back up if you want to add him again. Would you be interested in a guy like Chris Paddock, potentially, who we saw some goods, we saw some bads, and when I give a quick peek at his schedule, he's scheduled next week to face the White Sox and the Giants if that actually plays out.
If that plays out, that's a decent stream. But like you said, with Paddock, it's been some good, some bad. But given the lack of workload for Paddock over the last few years, I think in the second half, wouldn't be surprised at all if this dude starts to wear down a bit and we see more of the bad than good the rest of the way. But yeah, if the White Sox and Giants matchups come to fruition for Chris Paddock, that's obviously a great stream. So,
all right, the Mets, we have seven games this week. It's a fun one. First game at Pittsburgh. The next three games at home versus Washington, and then the next three at home versus Colorado. So they have one road game to start the week in Pittsburgh, likely a makeup game, and then six at home against Washington and Colorado. Two lefties, five righties. This Mets team is just a juggernaut. Hopefully, Nimmo's back. Bader's supposed to be just banged up a little bit, but it seems like the big guys have finally gotten at it as they've started to play so well.
Yep, this is a great lineup, and I will continue to bang the drum for Tyrone Taylor, who has had a good week since we touted him last week. I think Tyrone Taylor, I don't know the roster rates for Taylor. I can't imagine it's very high. So Tyrone Taylor is actually sneakily one of my favorite outfield Fab guys.
2% in 12s.
Yeah, come on, people. And playing every day. So Tyrone Taylor, seven-game week against this schedule is just awesome. So let's go Tyrone.
Oh, they call me Tyrone. Oh, sorry. New York Yankees. Six games this week, all on the road at Tampa Bay, at Baltimore. One lefty, five righties. Trent Grisham. Can I interest you in some Trent Grisham, anyone?
No. I don't think so. I mean, is he good? Did I miss something while I was at the beach?
I will say this much. Ben Rice is leading off now all of a sudden, so that's fun. And yeah. Austin Wells is doing things if you're interested in that. When it comes to Grisham, it's nothing fancy, no. It's just he plays a ton. He's hit safely in like four of his last seven. So, like, super deep league, I guess, but no, I was just kind of being sarcastic just with the five righties on tap. Otherwise, no.
Did catch me, thought I missed something huge. So, no, I mean, there's nothing here for the Yankees in terms of Fab. No, maybe Austin Wells. Austin Wells is a good call in two catcher league. So, he's turning things around a little bit.
Yep, exactly. Oakland Athletics, they have six games this week, all on the road at Boston, at Philadelphia. One lefty, five righties. Again, it's an A's team. Bleday's calmed down a ton of late. Like that was fun. I wouldn't be shocked if he has another heater in him at some point, but I'm not running there. I still like Soderstrom. He's obviously calmed down some too, which you kind of expected from Soderstrom. Lawrence Butler's like these are all like deep league. Like I'll still play Soderstrom in 12s, but like Bleday, Butler seems deep league type stuff.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, Butler has had a week. Two homers this week, five hits and 14 at bats. But again, long term, I don't think there's a lot of swing and miss with Lawrence Butler. The hard contacts there can run a little bit, but I think you're just trying to ride the hot hand. But knowing Lawrence Butler, that could fall apart quite quickly. So no, I don't have much for your Oakland, soon to be Sacramento, playing in 110 degree summer days. Athletics.
It's going to be some fireworks, literally, in that place. Philadelphia Phillies, they have six games this week, all at home. Dodgers, A's, three each. No lefties, six righties. Not to mention, did you hear correctly? We get the A's for three. This is a fun week right here. Schwarber and Harper, I don't think, come back till after the All-Star break, but they might push them back sooner. They could. They'll be ready, but I think they want to rest them a little longer. We'll see. But does that give you, like, Cody Clemens, Garrett Stubbs catching for JTR? Anything stand out to you there?
I mean, really, it's streaming against the Phillies, like pitchers against the Phillies. They are nowhere near as scary a lineup without Kyle Schwarber and Bryce Harper, at least in the short term. There's a lot of names that you don't really want on your team, and you want your pitcher facing with, like, Cody Clemens, David Dahl, David Duvall, of course. And there's a lot of platoons. So, like, I'm not going for it's your lefty hitters for Philly that you're interested in, but, like, are you really going to bid on Cody Clemens or David Dahl?
Deep leagues, you just might.
Am I being too harsh? I don't know, but
a little, but we'll let it slide right now. It's okay. I'll let it slide.
What's Cody Clemens hitting?
Hey, he's hitting higher than we are in the bigs. Okay.
What do we got here? We got a little, he's hitting 250, three homers, 58 plate appearances. Mm-hmm. 9% barrel rate for Cody Clemens. Mm-hmm. 9% swinging strikes, so not a whole ton of whiffs. I can now see Cody Clemens in 15 teamers.
There you go.
Six games. There we go.
It's Big John Stud says Philadelphia 285x wOBA last seven. So yeah, that offense is fluttering, as Ryan said.
Yep.
Pittsburgh Pirates, they have seven games this week: one at home against the Mets, then three at Milwaukee, and three at the White Sox. We look at one lefty, six righties for Pittsburgh. Please, for the love of God, people,
I know.
Pick up Rowdy Tellez. Please. He's just only 3% rostered in 12. That must be my three teams. At least one or two. I know I have at least one or two in my 12s. Like, make this big man happen.
Yeah, I figured you'd go straight to Rowdy, who, in all seriousness, like, we're only 2 years removed from Rowdy Tellez having a 35 home run season. So, like, it's not just a big man on a hot streak. This is someone who does have just some track record.
Streak. Yeah.
Just, yeah. He's not just any big man on a heater.
He might be the new mascot if something goes wrong with the wrist here pretty soon.
Yeah, that's true. Admittedly a downgrade, but yeah. we'll go with it if we have to.
Well, there was some weird. He's on the list.
He is on the. He's a candidate. He's a candidate for replacement if Rengifo hits the IL. Do you know what went on with the, like, Josh Palacios call up then not call up this week? I guess they did officially call him up.
They called him up yesterday, I thought.
Okay, I think he was going to get called up, and then, like, Jack Sawinski hit a home run, and then Pittsburgh didn't call him up, but then they did.
Like a Nick Castellanos home run thing. All of a sudden, something bad happens.
Maybe that was We've got live news on the mascot.
Yeah, I'll check
at least
it
in
out.
The chat.
Yeah, I'll look
confirm
it up,
but Joshua Palacios, yes, was called up. We will see how often Palacios plays. Some mild interest in deeper leagues for Palacios if it's regular playing time, which I think would come at the expense of Jack Sawinski if Sawinski continues to struggle, but it's a deep league thing only. And now, yeah, we've got confirmation in the chat. We've confirmed sources that Luis Rengifo is on the IL. What do we have?
10-day injury list with right wrist inflammation. That's as deep as going. Keston Hira gets the call. Hira, who's destroying AAA. Yeah, destroying AAA. So, because we know that always translates evenly to the bigs. We know, obviously, he's going to crush baseballs, but and that's one thing Keston can do, hit the ball hard when he hits the ball. So, yeah, that's going to be another fun one to add to the Fab conglomerate this weekend. Keston Hira will be up.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, if Joe Adell can have a hot month like he had, why can't Keston Hira, who's actually been good in the majors before? So, and if we go back to LA, yes, it is. Well, Keston Hira is he's a righty, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a righty.
So they do get the seven games. We'll see how often Hira plays for the Angels. The official podcast press release, just given the news that it's quote unquote just inflammation for Luis Rengifo. I think Rengifo still, we will stand by our mascot, and let's see how this looks. see how this looks after the All-Star break and revisit our standing at that time.
Hey, real quick. So just for Keshen here before we move on. His minor league numbers this year, 270 with 18 homers in 68 Triple-A games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's going to make things fun this weekend. That's all I'm going to say.
But he's been a quad A guy. Like, he has hit well in the minors consistently. And then, I mean, it's just like Joe Adell. It's like the same guy. But yeah. Dom in the chat, Keston Hira or Heston Kerstad? I think I'd go Heston Kira.
I'd go Keston Hira. That's good. Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
And if that's a serious question, Dom, I don't know. I'd still go Kerstad, but
yeah, I go Kerstad.
That's a tongue twister.
It is a tongue twister, and let's hope for the best for Ngifo, because they're saying inflammation. He had the MRI. Let's hope. Like, literally, just let him sit through the All-Star break. That's fine. Yep. No issues there at all.
It's a good time for an IL stint, to be honest.
It's a great time for an IL stint. So, all right, where did we leave off? Did you finish your thoughts there on Pittsburgh? Because Palacios did pinch hit on the fourth. So
yeah,
he's there.
I don't know how much he'll play, but he was called up.
Yep, I'm with you. San Diego Padres, they have six games this week. They get Seattle for – no, they have five. I mean, they get five games this week. Seattle for two, Atlanta for three, all at home. One lefty, four righties. What do you like in San Diego?
Nah, we can move on. There's nothing here in terms of fab. No, you don't want David Peralta. You don't want Bryce Johnson, I don't think. So, no, especially in a five-game week.
San Francisco Giants, they have six games all at home this week, three against Toronto, three against Minnesota, one lefty, five righties. It's like Lamont Wade's back. That's always a guy to target in weeks like this. And with Wilmer Flores on the IL, kind of he plays every day now. If you want an empty batting average, that's your guy. But other than that, this could be a Conforto week. If you want to go back there, love Brett Wisely. I like Wisely, period. He's playing every day pretty much. So those would be the guys I'd be looking at this week if you're in need.
I'll defer to you on that one. Lamont Wade, since we try to cater to all formats, your points league OBP god against right-handed pitching, Lamont Wade is back. So if you're in a points league or an OBP, I like that one a lot too.
All right. Got the Seattle Mariners six games this week, all on the road at San Diego, at the Angels. This is a juicy week. One lefty, five righties. Do I have to hear it from you again?
Dude.
It hasn't worked out yet.
So bad. It's so bad. Dom Canzone.
It's not just you. It's not just you. I've heard it from others too, but
no, yeah. Canzone has not taken advantage of
Can don'ts.
Yeah. Can't zone.
There you go.
The lineup's just so bad. They gave Julio was hitting seventh. Yep. The Mariners tried the old Trey Turner standing ovation. I don't know if you read about this on Friday night. Yep. And Julio continued to crap the bed Friday, Saturday. Did have a good game on Sunday, but yeah, man, Seattle, if they're serious about a run, and they should be given they're in first in the AL West, they got to make a move to get some bats. That lineup's just so bad. If anything, we normally take the hitting point of view for these schedules. If anything, against the soft pitchers, it's an awesome streaming week for your Mazer, Anderson, Soriano, first name, last name guy, David's Daniel, etc. Because you want to stream against Seattle as much as possible.
Yeah, Soriano and Daniel will be two I'd really look to, especially Soriano. I like him quite a bit, actually. He was on one of our bloom boards recently. So I do like Soriano in that matchup. Going into Friday, the Mariners 29% K rate versus righties over the last month. They are abysmal versus any pitching, pretty much, but they strike out a ton.
Yep.
St. Louis Cardinals, seven games this week. This is another one of the fun ones. First game of the week at Washington. Then they play two at Kansas City, or two at home versus Kansas City. They have Thursday off. Then they play four over the weekend because they have a doubleheader on Saturday versus the Cubs. Did you keep up with that, everybody? Good.
No.
So, basically it's one at home, six on the road. And if you really want to get after it, two lefties, five righties. But they have a doubleheader on Saturday.
And is Lars Nootbaar back or very close?
He's supposed to be back any day now, last I saw.
Okay. That one's interesting to me. We'll see what the playing time loser is out of that situation. But Lars Nootbaar is, I think, not one of those guys, like, not good enough to stash weeks in advance. But Lars Nootbaar this week, if available, I think you might want to get ahead of that. Outside of that, I don't know, man. Like, why is Matt Carpenter still playing
for the Cardinals? Why is Nolan Arenado still playing? He doesn't seem to care.
Yeah, it's been a tough scene for Arenado. My guy Oldschmidt's starting to, a little fountain of youth here. He's no Christian Walker, but starting to turn around a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. Christian Walker. I wonder where we got that from. Tampa Bay Rays, 6 games this week, all at home. They get the Yankees for 3 and the Guardians for 3. 2 lefties, 4 righties. You already mentioned one, Palacios. Do you want another? Anything else?
Yeah. This is an absolute line shift team.
Yep.
4 righties. So you do get your Brandon Lau while healthy. Interesting. Yeah, the other Palacios brother, Richie Palacios. Still isn't even playing every day against right-handers, so I don't know there. Still want to see Jose Caballero continue to play. He's steadily starting to lose playing time, but can play at second, third, and short and steal some bags. Johnny DeLuca, RIP, basically, just not playing. And same with Ahmed Rosario. So just a lot of cooks in that kitchen with Tampa. Tough to stream.
Yeah, Dom said he believes Newt's back today. That's what I saw a couple days ago, but I literally just searched everywhere and couldn't find an update since like Wednesday. So he should be back today or Saturday, any day now. You should get Newt back in your lives. All right, Texas Rangers, 6 games coming up, all on the road at the Angels, at the Astros, all versus right-handed pitching. Talk about an offense that's been a little underwhelming, not just Seattle. Texas has been quite rough of late, Bloomfield, and there's not a lot to pick up, I don't think.
No, there's not. Just so in alignment with how bad Texas's lineup has been, I think one of the worst when we looked at this last week. The second worst lineup over the last month in baseball. Marcus Semien's been a big part of that, man. Good Lord, he's been absolutely terrible as the leadoff guy in Texas. Corey Seager's back. Josh H. Smith continues to play as he should, but there's nothing else to pick up with Texas, I don't think. You're muted. Hey, Bubba, you're muted still.
My bad. Toronto Blue Jays this week. They're all on the road. They have 6 games on the road this week. 3 at the Giants, 3 at the D-backs. Pretty favorable schedule with 1 lefty and 5 righties and some not-so-great pitchers on the docket.
George Springer's back. You like to see that?
Yes, he is.
Vlad Jr. is on a tear. So this... Bo Bichette is not. Didn't he just get hurt again?
He's day to day. He was scratched. He's not officially on the IL. Just it's okay. He's been getting accused of grabbing his junk too much on Twitter. I think he needed a break.
Okay.
You haven't seen that? I take it.
Was not expecting that.
There's like a thing going around Twitter. It's like, what's going on? But yeah, it must be fun in Toronto these days.
I'll try and not search for that one. With the Jays, like, I'm still just – so Spencer Horowitz is hitting second, not only playing every day, but hitting second every day, pretty much against righties and lefties. So continue to ride that. I still think Horowitz is just like a empty batting average guy without much power speed juice, but hitting second in a lineup that's starting to at least turn things around. Getting a little nervous about Davis Schneider.
100%, yes.
From a playing time aspect. I have Schneider in labor, and I think another 15-teamer. I think I benched him this week. Just because he's just has not been playing enough and has cooled down quite a bit from his hot streak. And then Addison Barger too, like someone who I think is interesting, but just not playing enough. Only 2 starts over Addison Barger's last 6.
Yep, definitely. The main guys are gone. The platoons are becoming a problem in Toronto. Washington Nationals wrap us up here. They have 7 games to have this week. And they start with 1 at home versus St. Louis. And then 3 at the Mets and 3 at the Brewers. So 6 road games after their 1 game against St. Louis. We have 3 lefties and 4 righties, which makes things oh so fun for Washington.
Right. Jesse Winker's not playing against lefties anymore. Nor is Luis Garcia. So like those guys are a little bit tough to roster. And then obviously we mentioned at the top, but we will bring back up James Wood, who I think is the if you're there's a floor here where James Wood just does Jackson Holiday things to start out, but I also think there's a ceiling here that you need to bid pretty aggressively on if you want a 5 category guy in outfield. So James Wood, I think, will be the most expensive fab guy this weekend.
Yeah, I think he will be as well. And John Studd in the chat says Josh Palacios leading off for Pittsburgh today.
Okay.
So that makes things interesting. See where that goes throughout the weekend, because that could really change the interest level for one Josh Palacios.
It could. And I do, just for completeness on the podcast, I've got Palacios' minor league numbers. Hitting 311 with a 17% K rate in AAA this year. One homer, one steal, and 83 plate appearances. So, again, that's a small sample, whatever. But might be more of an empty batting average guy if that translates. But leadoff in Pitt, that will certainly help from a volume standpoint.
We might finally have the Fighting Palacios back in the league together. So I'm looking forward to that, having some fun there. All right, Mr. Bloomfield, you ready to talk some CBS most added drop? Let's talk hitters. And leading the way, Brooks Lee.
Leading the way, Brooks Lee doubled in CBS ownership from 21 to 42%. Who did we not cover? Jonkenzi Noel, the big Christmas, is the second biggest riser.
Because it's all righties this week. And,
So that
he still plays versus them, but there's more of a platoon. Like, he sat versus two of the last four righties. So,
I feel like this is, maybe I'm totally wrong on this, but like, fantasy players love dudes with cool names and who have power. But like, I don't think Jonkenzi Noel really, even like a 15 teamer, the playing time's not there. And we're already seeing a 40% strikeout rate. Like, the swing and miss is
Reyes.
That's who I was thinking of. And then there was another guy who was the Punisher. I only remember his nickname.
Oh, for the Reds. Oh no. That's going to bug me now.
The Punisher.
You can picture that one up. And everything. Big old dude. Right-handed bat.
Yes. Yes. That's good. People are probably screaming at the pod right now saying his
name. Get in the chat, people. Hook a brother up. But
Aristides Aquino.
There you go.
Aristides Aquino. So I kind of get those vibes. So anyway. Yep. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is a riser, but is on the IL.
That's a weird one.
That's a weird one. Harrison Bader, we mentioned on the Mets rundown, slow down a little bit, but running. And you know, we look at our stolen base attempt rate column on this board that I've concocted here, and Harrison Bader is one of the few stolen base sources out there. Ownership in CBS leagues up from 22 to 30%. Didn't talk about Brendan Rodgers, probably because, like I said, your streaming Rockies are already rostered. And I think Brendan Rodgers, he's been hitting well lately, but
very good.
I think your baseline is kind of an empty batting average guy without much power and just does not run. So I don't know. Anyone else that there's a lot of Colorado guys on here. Diaz is back.
Diaz back from the AL. Mentioned Siri last week. He's actually starting to hit for like 250-ish with some power. So as long as he's hitting, you can go that direction. And he plays every day in center field, no matter this. He's almost been platoon proofed all of a sudden. So
yep. Yep.
He's there. Garrett Mitchell got added a ton. I love his skill set, like we talked about. Who knows? Rojas is down there. Nolan Schoenwald.
Miguel Rojas is doing what we expected, which is not striking out at all. 9% K rate, but no power, not running, et cetera, et cetera. So,
like, you got Brett Wisely, Matos down here. Devinson De Los Santos is a fun one. I've actually heard some prospect guys say he could or should be up like after the All-Star break. We'll see. But that could be a fun stash if you have room to stash. Just know that could be a very volatile situation, but tons of power.
Yep. In leagues where you can stash, I get behind that. We just did a deep dive. I believe it was written by Chris Blessing at Baseball HQ. Did a deep dive on Dylan. Or maybe it was Doug Otto. There was a recent deep dive on HQ that was really good about on De Los Santos. We do have in the chat, Randy Leeson says, Twitter is speculating on a possible Monday call-up for Kobe Mayo, who is one of the top hitting risers in CBS, up from 35 to 40%. Just another Baltimore prospect.
But it's like, so, okay, cool. Where does he play?
Exactly. Yeah, like, I don't want to ignore it or be flippant, but like,
they finally give up on Mateo, basically. Is that it? Like, Jorge Mateo, time to go.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised and wouldn't disagree with it.
It makes sense. But that would be the logical move, because Westbrook's not going anywhere. So it's got to be Mayo.
PJ in the chat says Mayo has no spot. I tend to agree, but we'll see. Just the way Baltimore hitting prospects have been treated lately, most of them, I'm not that enthused. So anyway, any other Hitter names. Yeah. We'll go to the bottom here.
Let's go to the pitching side of things. Right. A lot of the hitters, a lot of speculation type stuff. But Michael Mercado's a fun one. He had a two-step this week making his debut with the Phillies, and he was actually quite serviceable in his first start. So we'll see how start two goes. But, you know, five innings, one earned, four Ks in his debut. So that's a fun one for sure.
Yep, and I will admit I kind of cast Mercado aside, and it still could be, I mean, still could end up badly in favor of Festa, who is now in the minors. So funny how that works. We only have a one-start sample from Mercado, but in one-start samples, I still like to look at that per-pitch stuff, and we've got the swing strike and the ball rate both in green on this sheet. So at least in that one start, Mercado got some whiffs, threw some strikes. That's what you want to see from a rookie.
Yep, I'm with you there. Everyone knows my thoughts on Colin Ray. Just don't do it. David Peterson was a two-step guy. Davis Daniel was a two-step guy. Soriano came back two-step guy. Arrigetti was a two. Like most of these guys, Wesneski were all two-step pitchers up towards the top of this list.
Yeah, Wesneski for me was disappointing. Gave up five earned in his first start of the week. We'll see what he does this weekend. But I still trust those skills for Hayden Wesneski. I like him probably more than most, which could be good or bad. But Davis Daniel did, but did he pitch against Estes this week?
Yeah, he was.
He pitched against the A's and did not do. He did okay, but you expected more against the A's.
Yeah. Well, he faced him the first time. No, he faced Detroit the first. Yeah, I expect some more. Four earned, three Ks over five and a third. Not what we wrote up.
Yep, agreed.
And then some other guys here like Landon Knack. He's still widely available. He's going to stick in that rotation for a bit longer. Frankie Montas, I just want to mention him. He's pitching actually like quality start type pitching. So it's not great, not bad. No wins, little strikeouts though. So just keep that in mind. That's a tough one, but his overall ratios look decent. Drew Thorpe keeps getting yo-yoed around. He got pushed back to Friday again. This week it's 2 weeks in a row. He's been pushed for extra days rest. So keep that in mind if you're targeting Drew Thorpe. He's looked good, but they keep moving him around too.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm not getting stats pulled in for him. I'll have to check the old Bloom Board's inner workings here, see what's going on. There is a starting pitcher who is all green on our sheet with a 17% K-minus walk, 12% swinging strike, and a 34.
Oh, who's that, Ryan? Why are we bringing him up?
It's my guy, man. It's Andrew Heaney, who legitimately
32% rostered in OCs. But I need to change that this weekend.
If everyone's chasing all these young starters, and Andrew Heaney has been very good in the majors and looks really good right now. Yes, we know all of these shortcomings and the home run issues with Andrew Heaney. We've all been burned by Andrew Heaney at some point in our fantasy baseball lives. But this is a guy who is putting up the best skills of any starting pitcher on this CBS ad list. And so I think a lot of folks at just 25% roster just immediately cringe when they see Andrew Heaney. Look at those skills, man.
Yep. They're outstanding. I admitted on our last show on the Bloom Board that I was wrong on Heaney. I said that.
It could still go. It could still. Again, this is still Andrew Heaney.
He gets blown up. We've never seen that before.
Exactly. I'm just pointing it out for the people.
You know what else has an all green on here? Michael Kopech. Do you want to go down his deep dive too?
Well, he's a reliever. I should probably take relievers off this thing. But no, even though Kopech is all green, actually, skills aren't bad, my man.
There he's horrible.
Buy low.
Do not buy low on it.
I'm joking.
Yeah. Like, just do not do it. Birdsong's been good, but it's one of those that I don't know for how long he's going to be singing. But Birdsong's good. Joey S is coming off the shutout. That's fun.
Yeah, Joey Estes, I've had on labor for a while. Like, he's actually, I think, pretty good. Throws a ton of strikes, a 30% ball rate for Joey Estes. That's Carson Spearsian type control. Carson Spears is on this list as well from a 12 to 15% rise in CBS. I mean, the only other names I'd add, we mentioned them earlier, but Robbie Ray and Jeffrey Springs, if it's stash season, and I made this point a week or so ago that stash season, like the All-Star break is prime stash season because you basically get a free week of no games. So I like Robbie Ray and Jeffrey Springs, probably Ray more than Springs personally, if you're trying to order them. But I like those guys as stashes in the second half.
Yep, don't dislike that at all. All right, let's talk two steps. Let's talk some two-step pitchers, Mr. Bloomfield. Let's have some fun here. I'll start at the top. Arizona Diamondbacks, you got Tommy Henry. You're going to start Zach Gallen. Tommy Henry versus Atlanta versus Toronto. No.
No. No way in hell.
Okay. You're starting Salen Morton. You're starting Morton versus Arizona and San Diego, right?
I am. Yep, I am. Okay.
Dean Kramer versus the Cubs versus the Yankees.
I'm starting the Dean in that two step. The Yankees is scary, but the Cubs, yes, the Cubs.
Brian Baio versus Oakland versus Kansas City. And Baio did look a bit better in his last start. I still need to see more, but remember they pushed him back for a while to get him some more work. So maybe something clicked.
This maybe is a get right spot for Brian Baio. I would imagine, even though we just kind of dunked on his skills, I believe on our last episode. Yeah. Baio is, the projections were good, but we looked at the skills and like, ugh. So, I would imagine Baio will be heavily deployed in 15 teamers. I wouldn't go there in 12s yet, just because the Oakland matchup's awesome and Kansas City is a decent one as well.
All right, Chicago Cubs tie on at Baltimore at St. Louis.
You do it. You just hope like hell at Baltimore doesn't crush you.
100%. Andrew Abbott versus Colorado versus Miami.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Yep. And even Lodolo. American's beautiful.
Yep.
Lodolo, you're doing. Gavin Williams at Detroit at Tampa Bay. That return was not great.
Was it not? I did not. No, yes, I see an 11.25 ERA. I didn't catch it.
Yeah, I'll give you the stat line real quick because I did roster some Gavin Williams, so that was not awesome. But
while you do that, I'll just talk real quick on Ben Lively, who I swear, man, the scheduling gods are on Ben Lively's side. Yes. Just shoved against the White Sox in his last start and now gets a two-step at Detroit, at Tampa. I really like that for Ben Lively.
Gavin Williams, 4 innings, 5 earned, 2 walks, 2 Ks versus the White Sox.
Not great.
Nope, but I'd still probably go because of those matchups, and he just came off the IL, so I guess the way we'll see them. Colorado, okay. Dakota Hudson, and Cal Quantrill at Great American at the Mets. No.
Nope.
Chris Flexen versus Minnesota versus Pittsburgh.
No.
Jack Flaherty, yes. Kenta Maeda versus Cleveland versus the Dodgers.
No way. And even Jack Flaherty, just watch that. Watch if that two-start comes to
watch
fruition.
Watch his back.
Watch your back, Jack.
Yep, watch your back. Davis Daniel, Ronzi Contreras versus Texas versus Seattle.
God.
I go with Daniel for sure.
I'd throw Daniel. Yep. Is Ronzi pitching deep enough in games to...
I don't care if he is or isn't, personally.
Yeah, that's probably the right answer. I'd go yes on last name, first name, Davis Daniel, and no on Ronzi.
All right, the Marlins, who also called up a first name, last name, and Kyle Tyler recently, they have Trevor Rogers at Houston, at Cincinnati.
That's a dual first name. It's a dual first name. I wouldn't trust Rogers. It. I would not do Trevor Rogers either.
Yeah, okay, I wouldn't either. Colin Ray versus Pittsburgh versus Washington.
God, he's got a 330. Colin Ray has a 334 ERA and 8 wins, man.
And then you look at the rest of that freaking profile, and it's like a 4.6 Sierra.
Agreed.
A 9% K to walk. Like, there's so, like, this 2% swinging strike rate. There's so many things that just feel like a blow up's coming at any moment. Like, you're playing with house money right now.
I'd throw it in a 15 with,
oh, you,
with,
you
with
do
mild
a 15,
confidence.
100%. 15, 100%.
Yeah. And I think he will be widely thrown in 15s and maybe some 12s, just given the surface stats. But I agree with you, man. This could fall apart and will fall apart at some point.
Chris Paddock at the White Sox, at the Giants. You got to.
Yes, you do.
Christian Scott at Pittsburgh, at Pittsburgh versus Colorado.
Yep, for
Jose
sure.
Jose Quintana versus Washington versus Colorado.
God, another like smoke and mirrors guy. I'd throw it, but just feel like that's going to unravel at some point as well.
15s only, folks. 15s only. Yeah. You're throwing Rodon, even though he struggled. You're still throwing. Well, I don't know. At Tampa Bay, at Baltimore, throwing Rodon.
Yes.
Joey Estes at Boston, at Philadelphia. That's tough.
Yeah, I'm doing that. At Philadelphia is not the at Philadelphia we think without Schwarber
next week.
Could be. And Harper. It's the game before the All-Star break. I doubt they. If I'm Philly, I'm resting those guys through the All-Star break. So I would throw Joey Estes in this two-step. I would.
All right. Luis Ortiz and Martin Perez. Luis Ortiz versus the Mets at the White Sox.
Who the hell is Luis Ortiz? I've got Keller and Perez.
I would throw him for the White Sox start and pray he survives the Mets.
What team are you on?
Pirates.
Huh. I've got Keller and Martin Perez.
Yeah, looking at the RotoWire grid right now, Luis Ortiz, Martin Perez.
Okay, maybe it changed mid-show. That's crazy.
It's not locked in, so it could change again, but that's what they have right now.
Okay. I don't know.
I'd say Ortiz. Martin Perez at Milwaukee at the White Sox.
No, wouldn't do it. Not happening.
Giants, Jordan Hicks versus Toronto versus Minnesota. Yeah, keep doing it and just hope he keeps giving you five innings.
Yep.
Miles Mikolas at Washington versus the Cubs.
No. Same with.
See, what's happening to Miles Mikolas should eventually happen to Colin Ray.
Exactly. That's a good call.
Andre Pallante versus the Royals versus the Cubs.
No.
Okay, you're gonna Pepio versus the Yankees versus Cleveland. Man, that's a tough two step. Oh my God.
It is a tough one. Pepio is good enough that I think you roll with
him. He got blown up in his last start, but yeah,
I agree. I know. He's been super roller coastery this year. Pepio has had some great starts and some blow ups and not much in between. But yeah, I think on the whole, you throw this against the Yankees and Cleveland. It's a tough one, but I think Pepio is good enough.
John Gray at the Angels at Houston. And remember, they're in GIFO-less Angels, so there's like nothing in that lineup anymore.
That's true. Unless Heston Kira comes back and looks good. I would throw Gray in this one. I know it's been rough since his return from the IL. Has had a good start, sprinkled in between a couple disasters. But I'm probably throwing John Gray, who I have in a ton of leagues, and probably in most of those leagues, depending on my other 15-team options.
Mitchell Parker versus St. Louis at Milwaukee. Jake Irvin at the Mets at Milwaukee.
Of course.
Yes, that's beast. Sure. That's an easy one, folks. That one was easy. All right. Let's have some fun here. We got some listener questions. Joe G says Moreno or Patrick Bailey in a mixed one catcher daily roto. Gabriel Moreno.
I would too. Okay. Yep. Agreed.
Yep. I think that's most of the ones.
Moreno's an elite batting average guy at catcher. And like we're seeing it so far, a slight uptick in power, which was a concern with me with Moreno, but he's back. He's the primary catcher for the Diamondbacks. I like Moreno a lot.
Joe G also messaged me earlier, Taylor Ward or Jesus Sanchez or Parker Meadows. Which one would you like, Ward, Sanchez, or Meadows?
I think I got that same one. I responded and said Sanchez against righties. I think he said it's a daily league. And then Ward and then Parker Meadows.
Yep, that is the correct answer. At Futures Bet says, I know that you will discuss Brooke Lee, but just in case you guys fall asleep during the pod, I wanted to remind you. So, yeah, we got you. We got you, buddy.
We made sure to cover it early on in the pod in case.
Oh, I made a point to put that on like the first bullet point there. So I wouldn't fall asleep till the end. B Shot says, I'm scared for our mascot. We all are. Just hope it's a minimal thing, but we love the support. It's great. He'll appreciate this when we talk to him. Never.
Very, very funny how the chat just blew up with Rengifo with Rengifo to IL like mid show. That was actually pretty fun.
No, and you guys know us that well. Like here it
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
Stephen Crawford says, in general, what is your opinion on rostering high ceiling prospects in a redraft league at this point of the season? I have both Noelvi Marte and James Wood on my 23-man roster. I like their speed, power, potential in a categories league, but guys like Holiday, we've seen struggle.
Yeah, yeah, you kind of nailed it, actually. That was my, I guess I'm not sure if there was a question. It was just a really good point there, and that's what I brought up early on in the show with the Brooks Lee thing is just like, and same with James Wood, and that's why I also brought up the Parker Meadows. Like, wouldn't be surprised if Parker Meadows was better than those two guys. It's just been an abysmal hit rate, and I'll be interested to hear this offseason from the prospect folks. Like, is this just kind of a one-off thing? Is there a reason behind this? That will be one of those kind of look backs in whenever September or probably at first pitch Arizona. I'm sure there'll be a lot of talk about that. Be interesting to see what those folks think about if there's a reason behind a lot of these hitter struggles on the prospect side.
PJ in the chat says, looking at a wasteland at third base and a 15-teamer, is Lennon Sosa worth the look? Well, that is definition of a wasteland.
That would wasteland confirmed. I guess, if I mean, you got nothing else, Lennon Sosa.
What about Malloy? Is he available? He's third base.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, any. I mean, Lennon Sosa, that's tough.
That's rock bottom, as they say. Last question we have here. Well, Frank has one here. He's last in batting average. Any suggestions on what to do? Focus on your other five categories or whatever.
Yeah, so you could go two ways about it. Just punt, embrace it, punt batting average. There are plenty of low batting average, high power, even high steal guys that you could just, you know, look at your standings, try and run the numbers and see what that looks like. Did mention, like, I mean, Miguel Rojas, Xavier Edwards. But again, by trying to fix your batting average, by taking those guys, you are then creating more weaknesses. It's whack-a-mole, basically, creating more weaknesses in power, speed, that sort of thing. So I would lean at this point in the season, unless you can trade your way out of it, I'd recommend just punting batting average and focus on shoring up your other four categories if you can't trade out of it.
Yeah, it's getting to the ratios are tough as the season goes along. So good luck with that. PJ says Malloy's available. That's who I would take over Lennon Sosa. I'll tell you that much.
Yep.
Last question we have right here from our buddy Corbin Young, who put a great piece out on CJ Abrams on HQ today. Let's go check that out. Really good stuff there. He writes well everywhere, but that's a good one for today. Corbin asks, because this is how he knows us from the show, what did you eat and drink? I'll just say for the holiday, because I celebrated more so on the 3rd than the 4th, but what did you eat and drink for the holiday?
I agreed. The 4th was actually more, so the 3rd is actually our youngest's birthday. So on the 3rd, he turned 3. So really the 3rd was the blowout for us, and our traditional burgers, dogs, bacon, rice, beans, on the charcoal Weber. So did not smoke 365 whatever racks, you did, briskets, ribs, racks, whatever ribs.
We barbecued, we didn't smoke, but yes,
plenty of High Noon this weekend. Yes. Plenty of IPAs, just enjoyed myself immensely. Was a good week off, and this weekend's going to be kind of more recovery mode, but yeah, that was my end of the deal. And birthday cake, too. Birthday cake. There you
go. Plenty of birthday cake. Yeah, Thursday, it's weird because in my town on the 3rd, they do the fireworks show. The town next door, they do the 4th. So we get kind of a double whammy, which is cool. But so on the 3rd, we had our party at our friend's house, and I made my jalapeno popper dip, which is always good. And that looked good. It's like the go-to. I walk in, that thing disappears quickly. But everyone brings an appetizer. So we had a lot of, you know, finger foods and stuff going on there. Plenty of High Noons that evening. Watched the show, and then we barbecued like crazy in 106 degree heat yesterday, or on the Thursday. And it was water noon. I was responsible. But what I want to bring up, since he asked this question, have you tried the new High Noon iced teas?
No, I'm still, I haven't progressed to that level yet.
I have not seen one in the flesh until yesterday afternoon when I was in a swimming pool trying to like cool down from the day.
Nor have I.
Okay. The one's basically regular iced tea, not bad. The raspberry, dangerous, absolutely dangerous. Like if anybody ever had an Arizona raspberry iced tea, those ones, which I used to drink a lot in college for some reason, it's almost identical to that. It is
like the big 99-cent can.
Yes, that's why I used to drink them in college. Yeah, they were cheap in the common area, and you just get one of those in a bagel. And that's what I consider a good breakfast when you're, you know, 20. So that it tasted just like that, and I'm like, oh no. Oh no, okay. this is bad news bears right here. So something to think about, people.
Glad you found a new favorite. I will keep an eye out. Our in Oregon, it's interesting. I don't know if it's like this in California. Technically, High Noon is considered liquor.
Yeah,
and no, so I cannot buy it in grocery stores. I have to go to the liquor store to get High Noons. So
even in the state of California, where we have a bunch of wacky rules, you can still buy liquor at the grocery store. So
okay,
but yeah, when you go to shop for it, it's in the liquor area of the store. Yes,
I never put that together. But once I asked the liquor store person, I was like, "Why can I only get this here?" And it's like, "Well, technically, real vodka. It's real vodka." So that's actually an advertisement for High Noon. But so it's not readily available in Oregon just because I have to go to the liquor store to find it.
But that's why I saved that question till the end, because I know we had to go on a rabbit hole on this one. But we'll wrap it up there, Mr. Bloomfield. Any comments? Anything going on that you want to mention before we head into the week 16 Fab weekend?
No, second big week of Fab. So hopefully we previewed it quite well for you guys. That's always the hope. Appreciate the chat. Like I said, new time slot, the matinee lunchtime edition. Was cool to see some new faces mixed in with our old faithfuls. So that was fun. And I'm going to go try and sell my truck now.
Yep. Good luck with that. I'm going to go back to my real job and go do that. But
I didn't mention that, but yeah.
Same. Thanks everybody for listening on this one. Before we head on here, make sure you check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Endrick. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll be back with you guys Tuesday night for another Bloom Board. But for now, Bubba and the Bloom, episode 149. Catch y'all later. Thank you.